Thanks, guys. Good morning again. It's good to see you all. We're going to kind of be in the book of Isaiah. Just a quick little verse in Isaiah is where we're going to be this morning. Well, first, though, I kind of have a little bit of a confession. I don't know about you, but I find myself not really as excited about the coming of this baby Jesus as I ought to be. And That's not just like a clever intro to the sermon. I really don't. Like, I don't think about that as much throughout the year. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I think about the cross. I think about the death of Christ. I think about that throughout the year. But the baby being born in a manger, that's not really something that's on my mind throughout the rest of the year. I know it's a necessary part, but it seems like from the scriptures and the way you see others reacting, that there's a bit of a disconnect between me and the way I react to the coming Christ and the way they react to the coming Christ. So maybe you can kind of, maybe with you're with me on that. Others of you, maybe you get it and you're fully in and you're the best Christian ever and whatever. But for the rest of us, we want to see how important this baby that came is. So every year I find myself saying, like, you're a pastor. You need to be more excited about this, you know? Look at Matthew. It should be coming on the screen. Matthew 2:10. These guys hear about, these wise men, these wise guys, they hear about the coming Christ, and they see a star off in the distance. And their reaction to the star, because it's about the coming Christ, is what I'm kind of looking at and saying, wow, that's the kind of reaction I'd like to have. They saw the star in the sky, and they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That's a lot of joy. And you contrast that with sometimes the way we enter into the Advent season, and it's maybe a little different. I think part of the problem is that we see kind of this Advent season and the coming of Christ as the beginning of the story, right? Like the story's starting now. The Christ is coming. Whereas the people that these Gospels were written to and the people during the time that Jesus came, they have thousands of years of story already, you know, underneath them. And so they're coming to this, and you can imagine the excitement that that brings if you have all of that behind you. They're hearing about this Christ child in the context of centuries of stories and hope and longing and expectation. And so we kind of see, like, oh, here the story is beginning. Christ has come. And so we don't have as much of the Old Testament in our mind. We don't have a Jewish background, so we don't see the things that they saw. I want you to imagine maybe your favorite trilogy, a book series or a movie. For me, it would be the Bourne series. You know, Bourne Ultimatum, Bourne Identity, all those. Love that. So think about your favorite trilogy. And then imagine if you sort of drop down in the middle of that. So some of you, it's Star Wars, who's not really a trilogy. It's like a quadrilogy or something. Lord of the Rings, Hunger Games, Back to the Future. Remember that one? And then others of you, you wouldn't admit it here, but you can't wait for Pitch Perfect 3 to come out so that it could be your... Finally, you have a trilogy of your own, you know? Or imagine like one of a TV show with a series, and imagine dropping into the middle of that series. How would that feel? You watch these shows, and we have this thing called binge watching. Now, why? Because we can't stand to be left hanging at the end of the show. We can't stand waiting. What? God, why would you make us wait 7 whole days for the show to come around again? No, we can't have that. We have to watch it right now. And so you go to work with bags under your eyes because you were up to till 2:30 watching Stranger Things or something, right? Because you can't stand the waiting. These people have been in waiting for a long time, centuries of waiting. And we can't stand that waiting at all. Well, imagine dropping into the middle of one of these shows. Let's say you're dropping in season 4 of a 7-season show. And you watch it with others who are also watching it, but they've watched all that's come before, right? And the reactions after you watch that with them are quite different. Your reaction and their reaction. Your reaction is something like, that was entertaining. That was a good use of whatever it was, an hour or a movie, a couple hours. That was nice. And they're like, are you kidding me? Did you see what happened? Isn't that amazing? You don't understand when that character came or when that character did that. Are you crazy? You know, it's like, oh, I just thought we were here to be entertained. The difference is that they have this whole backstory that's leading them up to this point, and we're just dropping in the middle and just kind of enjoying it for what it is in the moment. And so we treat the birth of Christ in the same way. It's the beginning of the story. We just drop right in, and here it begins. If you notice, each of the gospel writers, that's the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of the writers take great care to make sure you understand this is the continuation of a story. So Matthew, the first book, Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Do you see him rooting Jesus into the long story, into the grand narrative, making sure you see this isn't the start of the story. This is the continuation of the story. The Gospel of Mark, the same thing. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah, the prophet, and he quotes from Isaiah, someone who wrote 700 years before this event. He's rooting it in that story. The Gospel of Luke, the same way. He goes all the way back to Adam, like we saw last week. He goes and says, this guy's the son of this guy, who's the son of this guy, who's the son of this guy, all the way back to Adam. And John, the Gospel of John, goes back even further than that and roots Christ before time began as the Word who dwelt with God before creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So perhaps part of our problem is that we're seeing this as the start of the story, when in reality, it fits into this grand narrative, this large story, thousands of years in the making. And I hope if we see it in that, maybe we'll understand what a big deal it is for this coming Christ. Here's our sermon summary for today. Advent, it reminds us to be continually amazed that he came to us. He came to us. So I want to look at the book of Isaiah in 9:6, Isaiah 9:6, and hope that we're kind of swept up into that story, and then we see more of the what a big deal it is that this baby has come. So listen to Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So what I want us to consider is just look at these first two lines. Just, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And be surprised by a few things just within those first two lines. Three things to be kind of surprised by. First, it's that he came at all. The fact that he came. Secondly, the surprise of who he came to, and then lastly, the surprise that he actually came to us. So first, the surprise that he came. I want you to hear the significance of this child being given as the announcement from Isaiah. You have to hear it in the context of this bigger story. So think about the Israelites. What in the world do they have as they hear this proclamation that a son is going to be given? They have promises. They have promises made to Abraham. They have promises made to Noah. They have promises made to David. And they're clinging to those promises. They also have the law. The law which says this is what God accepts. This is who God is. And so they take that law, and often they do that law so that they can get themselves sort of to God. And this is all religion at its core. All religion, besides Christianity, is get to God, ascend to God. Christianity is different. Listen to what Isaiah even says. A child is born, a son is given. And so God's kind of flipped the script a little bit. It's not us earning our way and making our way to God, but it's actually him descending to us. This is not, you guys give and I'll receive your gifts at my altar and then I'll see if they're good enough. It's rather God coming down and being the offering for us to gain us back to him. It's a story about his coming down. It's about his arrival, not our achievements. It's really one-sided. He sends, he comes, Jesus arrives. A child is born to you, a son is given to you. God is doing it all. What do? What's our role in this? We just simply receive this son. We receive this child. That's all we do. The king of the universe comes down, descends to us, for we could not have gotten to him any other way. So the first surprise is that he descends, that he actually comes down to us instead of merely saying, make your way up here. But he descends. Well, secondly, it's the surprise of who came to us. A child is born, a son is given. In Matthew 1:21, we hear the angel of the Lord speak to Joseph and tell his wife to be, they're going to have a son. It says this, the angel says to Joseph, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the solution to this sin problem that's been going on for thousands of years, the solution is a baby. Now that's different than what I was expecting. You know, I was expecting, here is your warrior. Here is your king. Here is, you know, something like that. But here comes a baby in a manger. But again, if you locate this story in the greater story, maybe you see that this is exactly what we needed. Genesis 3:15, we hear of this son that is needed, this descendant that is needed. I will put enmity between you and the woman, God says to the serpent, and between your offspring and her offspring. And the very next word is he, this is the son we need, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. We need that he. When is that he going to come? And the announcement is, this son is given to you. He is here. The son of Eve is finally here. Well, it makes sense why we would need this son. Why we would need this baby. But he does it in such a humble way, doesn't he? It's in the Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He comes as a weak human, as just a baby, he comes to assume our humanity and to relive our humanity for us and to gain us the true humanity that God created us for. What a surprise that God gave. God gave his son. God gave this child. The third surprise, then, is that he came to us. Think of it first in the sense of hearing it as an Israelite and them hearing this. But I want you to consider receiving a personal invitation from maybe someone that you've always wanted to meet. Maybe it's a professional athlete. Maybe it's an actor, actress, a singer, an author. I don't know. Someone like that. You've always wanted to meet them, and you receive in your mailbox or maybe in your inbox, you receive an invitation, a personal invitation from them to come and meet them. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? That would be a personal invitation like that, a huge honor. Now imagine not just receiving that in the mail or receiving that in your inbox, but hearing a knock at the door, opening the door, and seeing this person, and them saying, I came to see you. Could you imagine this? A personal invitation is one thing, but the presence of that person showing up at your door, that's amazing. I can imagine, you know, my wife's face if Justin Timberlake showed up at our door. I might not ever see her again, you know? That was it. I'm kidding. He doesn't have anything on me except for talent and money and fame and good looks. Anyway. Well, more accurately, maybe to the biblical account, have you ever been in a place of suffering and someone has come and shown up? They didn't just send something. They came to your door. They made sacrifices. They traveled and they showed up. And what are they doing? They're assuming your pain. They're assuming your suffering. They're saying, bring it on. I want to feel whatever you're feeling. I want to assume that on myself. And that's why I'm here to be with you. The fact that they come is a big, big deal. It speaks of their love for you. It speaks of the importance of who you are to them. Now think about this to us in Isaiah. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. I think about these Jewish people. What do they have to recommend themselves to God? Do they have a long history of obedience? Do they have centuries and centuries of faithfulness to God? They don't have that. Why in the world is God coming to them? They must be overwhelmed. Other people on the outside must be saying, do you mean the people who you blessed with your presence in the perfect garden and they rejected you? You're going to those people. Do you mean the people who you miraculously led out of slavery and then they turn around and decide to worship idols? You mean those people? Do you mean the people who are constantly needing to be punished for their disobedience to your commands? To those people, you're going to send your son to them? What an unworthy people. But those unworthy people get to proclaim the four best words that they could possibly think of. And that is, he came to us. He came to us, an unworthy people, a people who don't deserve it, a people who couldn't earn it. He came to us. The ESV Study Bible, it sort of summarizes Isaiah like this. Isaiah announces God's surprising plan of grace and glory for his rebellious people and indeed for the world. Isaiah announces God's surprising plan of grace and glory for his rebellious people and indeed for the world. You can imagine them saying, he came to us? You're sending him to us? Amazing. That news isn't just for them, is it? It's for us as well. And he came to us is Advent for us. But I think we sort of live like Advent is he came. It's very disconnected from us. He came. It's great that Jesus came and he lived and he was born. That's great. That's great news for the world. And we're missing. No, he came to us. He came to us. He sent him to us. He had us in mind and he sent him to us. Specifically to us. He came to us. To selfish lawbreakers who can't get themselves together, to complainers and rejectors, worshipers of idols, to those who've gotten gifts and squandered them away. He comes to us. Hear this good news. He came to us. Behold, I am sending you, you who are listening to my voice right now, I'm sending you a son, God says, to solve the problem of sin once and forever. I'm sending you a son. Be in waiting. Be watching. I'm sending him. And what's our response in this? That's just what we said earlier. It's the receiving of the son. It's the proclamation that we're not worthy, but we'll gladly take him. And we'll receive this son. And we'll receive pardon for our sin. And we'll receive being restored back to God. Through this son. We'll receive this son's life for our life so that we might be with God forever. Receive him. He came to save us and give us life abundant. So throughout this Advent season, let's just remember and think, we get to receive him. He was sent to us, and we get to receive him. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, we're really thankful that you would come to us, that you'd be sent to us, God the Father, that you would send Lord Jesus to us. Would you give us a deep love and appreciation and awareness of what a gift that is? And keep us from rejecting that gift because we're not worthy. Rather, help us to hear the fact that we're not worthy as a message of grace and your love. And let us throw ourselves upon you and receive from you the gift of this glorious Son on our behalf. God, may this Advent season be one that is filled with joy, no matter what it involves in this world, no matter what happens in the next 4 weeks. May it involve joy for us because a Son was sent to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.